This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu, 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 Allah, Allahu, Allahu, Allah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. وبعد, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We move on in our lessons on the beautiful names of Allah, Asma'ullah al-Husna, to another four names. And these names revolve around the independent nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so these names are Al-Ghani, Al-Wasi', Al-Samad, and Al-Sayyid. These four names: Al-Ghani, Al-Wasi', Al-Samad, and Al-Sayyid. And so let's have a look at each of these four names. The first one, Al-Ghani, has been mentioned many times in the Quran, 18 times. And of those times, mostly mentioned with Hamid, Allah's name, Al-Hamid. And this is a name we previously covered. Al-Hamid, the all-praiseworthy one. And so, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the statement of Musa alayhi salam when he was addressing his people, وَقَالَ مُوسَى إِن تَكْفُرُوا أَنْتُمْ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. Musa alayhi salam said, If you and everyone on earth, he was addressing his people, he said, if you and everyone on earth were to be ungrateful to Allah and disbelieve in Allah, then know that Allah indeed is Al-Ghani and Al-Hamid. Al-Ghani being self-sufficient. Al-Ghani being self-sufficient. This is in Surah Ibrahim, verse 8. And in Surah Fatir, verse 15, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, addressing all of mankind, Ya ayyuhan nasu, antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. O mankind, all of you stand in need of Allah. All of you are in need of Allah. وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. While Allah is Al-Ghani, the one who is not in need of anyone, the self-sufficient one, and Al-Hamid, the praiseworthy one. Ayah 15 of Surah Fatir. So these are two examples of where Al-Ghani has been mentioned. As for Al-Wasi', Allah's name Al-Wasi', it has been mentioned 9 times in the Quran. And almost every time mentioned with Allah's name Al-Alim. And Al-Alim also we have taken previously, meaning the all-knowing one. Al-Alim, the all-knowing. And so an example of Al-Wasi' being mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 247. In the story of Bani Israel in the time of Dawood alayhi salam, in the story of Talut. So their prophet told them that Allah has appointed Talut as a king among you. And so they objected and said, he doesn't deserve to be our king. So towards the end of the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, mentioning how Allah has given Talut certain qualities of knowledge, of power, strength. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That is the favor of Allah. And He gives it, He grants it to whomever He wills. وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. And Allah is wasi', which is the one who is all-encompassing. And here in this context, the one who is all-encompassing in bounty, in giving. And Alim, the All-Knowing. Also in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 54, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ. Actually, this was Surah Al-Ma'idah. This was Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 54. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. As for the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 247, in the story of Talut, at the end of the ayah, Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يُؤْتِي مُلْكَهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah gives His dominion, His kingdom to whomever He wills. And so this was referring to Talut. وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. And Allah is wasi'un alim. As for As-Samad, this name of Allah has only been mentioned once, and that is in Surah Al-Ikhlas. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَد. Say, He is Allah, the One. Allahu As-Samad. Allah, the Samad. Allah, the Samad. What is As-Samad? This we're gonna come to this when we talk about the meanings of these names. And there's no one specific word or meaning that we can give to this name. And that's because of how many different interpretations have been mentioned. How many different opinions have been mentioned by the Salaf about this one name of Allah. But basically, we can say it is, As-Samad is the self-sufficient, the one who everyone, all of creation, turns to for their needs, etc. So this is As-Samad, it's only been mentioned once in the Quran. As for As-Sayyid, this name has not been mentioned anywhere in the Quran. As-Sayyid. As-Sayyid. It has not been mentioned anywhere in the Quran, but it has been mentioned in a hadith. And so, in the hadith of Mutarrif ibn Abdullah ibn Shikhir, whose father was a Sahabi. Mutarrif ibn Abdullah ibn Shikhir. And this hadith is found in Abu Dawood and Musnad Imam Ahmed. He says, my father, the Sahabi, said, I went in the delegation of Banu Amir to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and I was among them, and they said to him, Anta Sayyiduna, that you are our Sayyid. And so Sayyid means, you know, the master, the leader, the one who has authority, sovereignty. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam responded to them saying, Allah As-Sayyid. That Allah is As-Sayyid. So they said, you are the best of us in fadl, in excellence, and the greatest of us in generosity. So basically, they came and they started to praise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Say what you like, قُلُوا بِقَوْلِكُمْ, say whatever you like, but do not let shaitan to provoke you." And so basically, here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to negate this name being attributed to himself. And instead, he made it clear to them that this name is one of the names of Allah. And so that is a Sayyid. So we move on to what these names mean. As for Al-Ghani, it means that Allah is the one who is self-sufficient, without need of anything. He is the one who transcends all needs, the one who flourishes without any aid of any sort. Yet, he is the one who is needed by everyone. He is not in need of anything or anyone, but everyone besides him is in need. And in need of who? In need of him. And so he is the one upon whose wealth and riches everyone else depends upon. Everything comes from Allah. And we depend upon him. While he himself doesn't depend on anyone or anything. So that is the meaning of Al-Ghani. And this name also can be used as one of the proofs for Allah's existence. In the sense that if we were to contemplate and reflect over this entire universe, we find that everything in the universe depends on something. Whether it is a created being, whether it is a living being or otherwise. Everything in this universe is dependent upon something. And so there has to be one who is not dependent on anything, but rather everything depends on him. And that is the Creator. And that is Allah. As for Al-Wasi', it means the one who is vast, without any limit. The one whose vast essence holds and embraces all of the creation. The one whose power, knowledge, mercy, and generosity are vast and boundless. So everything about Allah is vast. Expansive. And he has referred to certain attributes of his in the Quran as being vast, like his mercy, his forgiveness, his knowledge. These are things he has mentioned as being vast. And that is the meaning of Al-Wasi'. And so that includes his bounties and his riches that he gives. It's vast without any limit. And so even the richest of human beings, his riches and his wealth has a limit. But as for Allah, everything about him has no limit. As for As-Samad, it means the one who is absolute, perfect, complete, self-sufficient, and also sufficient to meet the needs of all the creation. he is the one who is constantly being sought by the creation. Meaning that the entire creation always turned to him, depending upon him. And so everyone depends upon him, everyone turns to him in all their matters. And that's why Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he defined As-Samad. And so he said, As-Samad is the master who is perfect in his mastery. Basically, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu described As-Samad as being someone who is perfect in every aspect. So he said, he is the master who is perfect in his mastery, the honorable who is perfect in his honor, the great who is perfect in his greatness, the forbearing who is perfect in his forbearance, the self-sufficient who is perfect in his self-sufficiency, the compeller who is perfect in his compulsion, the knower who is perfect in his knowledge, the wise who is perfect in his wisdom. He is the one who is perfect in every form of honor and mastery. He is Allah the glorified. This is his inherent quality, which should only be attributed to him. So this was the definition that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anh gives. And so what we learn from this is that at the core of the name As-Samad is the idea that Allah is the one who is sought for his unique perfection. For his unique perfection. And so the Arabs, they used to refer to people as being Samad when they became skilled in something, when they were a master in something. They would refer to that person as being a Samad. So a leader would be referred to as such, because all matters go back to him. A warrior who is fighting and he doesn't need help, he doesn't need even armor, and he wins every battle, he's referred to as As-Samad, because he has mastered that thing and he doesn't need anyone. And so Allah refers to himself as being As-Samad in the sense that he has attained perfection from every angle, and that is why he should be sought for. That is why the creation should turn to him, and that's why they do. That's why the entire creation do turn to Allah, because of his perfection. So this is As-Samad. As for As-Sayyid, it means the master and the sovereign of the universe. And so this name is similar to Ar-Rabb in many ways. Ar-Rabb being the Lord. And that's why in the Arabic language, Ar-Rabb is used in the master-slave relationship, as well as as Sayyid. And so in the past when there were slaves, the master was as Sayyid, the master of that slave. And so Allah being a Sayyid means that everyone is enslaved to him. Everyone is a slave of Allah. And so he is the one who is needed in the absolute sense. And so no created being is independent of Allah. And so if he did not create them, they would not exist. And if he did not sustain them after creating them, they would not remain. And if he did not help them with all that they are faced with, they would have no help besides him. And so this is the meaning of a Sayyid. We move on after that to the lessons that we learn from these names of Allah. The first name, Al-Ghani, teaches us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not benefit from us in any way whatsoever. And so our worship, our obedience does not benefit Him, nor does our disobedience harm Him. And so if everyone was to believe in Allah and obey Allah, from the first human being to the last, from the first jinn to the last, it would not increase Allah in any perfection. And if everyone disbelieved in Him and disobeyed Him, it would not make Him deficient in the least. And so that's the meaning of Allah being Al-Ghani. He does not need us. He does not need our worship, our obedience, our good deeds. And this is something very, very important to make clear to our children as well, who get confused when they hear these doubts about Allah. Why did Allah create us to worship Him? Is it because He needs us to worship Him? And so we have to make it clear that Allah is Al-Ghani. He did not create us because He needs our worship. Yes, He created us to worship Him, but not because He is in need of the worship, but rather because we are the ones who are in need of it. And this is something that Allah has pointed out in several different places in the Quran. And so, for example, Allah says, وَمَنْ شَكَرَ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. Whoever is grateful, then he is grateful to himself. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ رَبِّي غَنِيٌّ كَرِيمٌ. And whoever is ungrateful, then indeed my Rabb is Ghani and Kareem. Notice how Allah mentions Ghani here. Also, وَمَنْ جَاهَدَ فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدُ لِنَفْسِهِ. Whoever strives hard in the obedience of Allah and doing good deeds, then he does it for his own self. He strives for his own self. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah is Ghani, not in need of anyone, the entire world. The same thing with giving our wealth. And so those who withhold and don't give in the sake of Allah, does their greed harm Allah? No. وَمَنْ يَبْخَلْ فَإِنَّمَا يَبْخَلُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. Whoever is greedy, he is greedy against his own self. وَاللَّهُ الْغَنِي وَأَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَةُ. And Allah is Ghani, He is not in need, and you all are fuqara, you all are in need of Allah. And Musa alayhi salam said, as we mentioned previously, وَقَالَ مُوسَى إِن تَكْفُرُوا أَنْتُمْ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. If all of you and everyone on earth were to disbelieve, then indeed Allah is Ghani and Hamid. Notice how in each of these ayat Allah mentions Ghani while talking about our obedience and our good deeds and our striving and so on and so forth, to prove that all of it, we are the ones who benefit, not Allah. Allah does not benefit in the least. And also we have in the famous hadith, the hadith Qudsi, of Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, where he said, among the things that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that Allah says, O my servants, if the first of you and the last of you, the human of you, the jinn of you, were to be as pious and have the taqwa of the most pious among you, that would not increase in my mulk in any way, in my dominion in any way. And the opposite, O my servants, were the first of you and the last of you, the human of you and the jinn of you, were you all to be upon or to be as wicked as the most wicked person among you, that would not decrease in my mulk, in my dominion, in any way whatsoever. So all of this teaches us, all of this, it teaches us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghani, and He is not in need of anything of His creation. The second lesson that we learn from these names, and Allah's name al-ghani, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also not in need of a partner or a son. And so because of who Allah is, He has forbidden shirk. Because of who He is. He is not a created being that needs support, that needs help. He is Allah the Creator, who is independent, not in need of anything or anyone. And that's why Allah mentions His name Al-Ghani when mentioning how the Christians attribute to Allah's Son. قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدَ, they said that Allah took a son. سُبْحَانَهُ هُوَ الْغَنِي. Subhanallah, He is Al-Ghani. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, to Him belongs everything in the heavens and the earth. To Him belongs everything. It's a property of Allah, not a partner of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third lesson that we learn is that since we learned that Allah is not in need of anyone or anything, conversely, the entire creation is in need of Allah. If Allah is who He is, a being that is independent and not in need of anything, then the opposite is true. And that is that everything besides Allah is Allah's creation and therefore in need of Allah. And so being independent, being al-ghani, this is an inherent characteristic of Allah. While being dependent upon Allah is an inherent characteristic of the creation. It's a quality of ours that we cannot detach from ourselves. And Allah reminds us of this. Ya ayyuha an-nas, أنتم الفقراء إلى الله. O mankind, it is you all who are in need of Allah. وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ, while Allah is Al-Ghani and Al-Hamid. And so feeling this sense of need of Allah, what should it do? It should make one to basically leave all his affairs in the hands of Allah. Never thinking that he can manage on his own for even a second or the blink of an eye. And that's why among the adhkar and the du'as that the Prophet ﷺ would make in the morning and the evening was Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum Bi Rahmatika Astaghith. أصلح لي شأني كله ولا تكلني إلى نفسي طرفة عين. O Allah, rectify for me all of my affairs, and do not leave me to depend upon myself for even the blink of an eye. And so when we realize that we are dependent upon Allah for everything, this should make us to really put our trust in Allah. Leave all of our affairs in the hands of Allah. And never think that we could manage on our own, even for a split second. This name, Al-Ghani, along with Al-Wasi', we said Al-Wasi' is the all-encompassing, the vast, teaches us to never despair and lose hope when life takes an unexpected turn. And so this is because when the believer reminds himself of the vast nature of Allah's mercy and bounty, he will never despair and lose hope. And he'll be certain that Allah will make, that he will open up the ways for him. And so no matter how difficult things get, one should never lose sight of the fact that Allah is Al-Wasi', vast in everything, in His mercy, in His bounties. And so no matter how difficult things get, there is a way out. And that way out is coming from Allah. It just requires patience and belief and certainty. In fact, it is Shaytan who wants us to despair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of this. By mentioning His name, Al-Wasi', while telling us of what Shaytan tells us. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ash-shaytanu ya'idukumul faqra wa ya'murukum bil fahsha." Shaytan promises you or threatens you with poverty. Shaytan threatens you with poverty. And he commands you with immorality. Fahsha. Doing immoral, indecent acts. Wallahu ya'idukum maghfiratan minhu wa fadla. While Allah promises you with, so that is a promise of Shaytan, promising you with poverty, while Allah promises you forgiveness from him and fadl, bounty. Wallahu wasi'un alim. And Allah is wasi', all-encompassing, vast in what He gives, and alim, and also the all-knowing. As for As-Samad, it teaches us to turn to Allah alone for all of our needs, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is the one whom all of the creation turns to for their needs. Notice how this name has only been mentioned in Surah Al-Ikhlas. And the context of Surah Al-Ikhlas is about the oneness of Allah, defining who Allah is and who He isn't. And so perhaps this indicates the fact that recognizing Allah as such, as being As-Samad, that this is something universal. It's something based on the fitrah. It's something that everyone recognizes. That Allah is the one who we turn to for everything. He is the only one who is sought for everything. And so it's an integral part of our human nature. And that's why the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that is proven by not only the Quran and the Sunnah and common sense, but also by the fitrah. You don't need to teach someone that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one we should turn to for everything. Someone whose fitrah is intact, you don't need to teach him that. And that's why almost every religion out there, they have a concept of there being a higher being. But the problem with all the religions is not in recognizing the existence of Allah alone, and that He is the one we call to, and that He is the one who provides. That's not the issue. The issue is them attributing partners to Allah and saying that these partners deserve our ibadah, our worship, along with Allah. And that's why even the mushrikun of Quraysh, even they recognized the oneness of Allah and that He alone is the one who created us and the one who sustains and provides and so on and so forth, as Allah has mentioned throughout the Quran. That if you were to ask them, who is the creator? Who created the heavens and the earth? Who provides, etc.? They will say Allah. And so this is what As-Samad teaches us. Allah being a Sayyid, it teaches us to single out Allah in worship. To single out Allah in worship. And so the Prophet ﷺ forbade that he be referred to by this name, as we mentioned in the hadith, when they came to him and they said, "You are our Sayyid." And so he forbade them and said, "No, Allah is a Sayyid." And so even though linguistically there's nothing wrong with that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Sayyid in the sense that he is our Sayyid, he is the one we respect, he is the one who we, you know, he is our leader in that sense. And so it's true, he is our Sayyid, but it shows how the Prophet ﷺ gave special attention to preserving the right of Allah and closing all doors that lead to shirk. And this is just one example of many of how the Prophet ﷺ would forbid the companions from doing certain things or saying certain things, because of how, in and of itself, it's not shirk, but it would lead to shirk. And so he wanted to leave a clear message for his ummah that he was simply a servant of Allah and a messenger of Allah. Allah refers to him in the Quran with these names: Rasulullah, Abdullah, the servant of Allah. Not as a Sayyid. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ did not feel comfortable being called that, even though it's a name that he deserves. Even though it's not something that's not true. He is a Sayyid. And in fact, there's another hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ana Sayyidu waladi Adam, wala fakhr." He said that I am the Sayyid from among the children of Adam. And it's not something I boast about, but rather it's something Allah, you know, gifted me with. But here in this context, he was being praised. When this delegation came to him and started praising him and saying, "You are our Sayyid," so he wanted to close and shut those doors that lead to shirk. And so with that, we come to the end of these names and the lessons we learn from them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us beneficial knowledge and to grant us knowledge of the meanings of his names and attributes. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahu, 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 Allah, Allahu, Allah.